Have you ever wondered, is there more to the Word of God than just words on the page? Join us for an in-depth journey into the truth of God by means of open Socratic conversation. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Word of God says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed. Good Tuesday evening to all. Hidden Treasures Revealed is on the air. My name is Sean, and I'm here with Lexi. And Lexi's been with me on the podcast before, not too long ago. How was your day today? You doing all right?
Yeah, my day was actually pretty hectic. Not in the busy sense, but in the fact that it seemed like this one transaction I had at work today just was not simple. It was very complex, and like 4 or 5 receipts later and 2 gift cards later and 1 decline card, and there were just so many steps involved. And that was, I hadn't been at work very long, so that was kind of early in my day. And I was good in the moment, but it seemed like after it happened, I was like, wow, that really did take a lot out of me. And I know you're not supposed to like let 5 minutes ruin your day type thing, you like to just brush it off. But it seemed like the longer or the more I tried to brush it off, like the longer time in between had passed, that it affected me more. But yeah, I was also thinking, like, on my way to work, I was listening to worship music. And so I was feeling like, what's the word? Like, very spiritually fed, very full, ready for the day, looking for opportunities that I could, like, show Jesus to people and, like, share God's word. And I'm wondering if it's like, because I did that, that God was like, okay, you asked for it. Like, here's an opportunity. Here's a big rock to trip over.
Well, yeah, I have days like that. I'll have moments like that, that something will bother me and it'll go on for quite a while. And sometimes I'll catch it and say, no, just going to let it go. And then other times I'll be doing something and I'll get all the way through the entire workday, be done, be driving somewhere, and then it'll be, oh, I didn't even realize, well, you know what? I'm not doing that behavior again. I'll make sure I do this. And then you kind of like, why did I use all that time and was so mad and frustrated? But then you see it, but then when you go back the next time, there's opportunity to, okay, well, next time, something bothers me. Maybe it only bothers me for 30 seconds. And then I kind of like if you have a spark and you light something on fire, you stomp it out quick. But if you let it start burning, catching fire, it takes a lot longer to put it out in that circumstance. But yeah, I have moments like that. But actually with that, interesting, I was thinking about the circular versus the linear perspective, and we had talked about this recently, that with the things of God and the things of faith in Yah, everything is circular. Now, that doesn't mean that you see it as circular, but it, once you begin something in faith, the goal is to, it never ends. You start the journey, and what I thought was, if you're looking for the finish line, that's at the end. That's a linear thing. So if you go, like, all right, well, if, for example, the goal today is to get through it, well, that's a linear, and then you finish, and then if you finish, then you have nowhere else to go. I don't know. Do you watch football?
I'll watch it. I can't say I like know anybody's name or root for a certain team, but yeah.
reason I brought up football is I like watching that. And the Super Bowl is the biggest game. And you win it. Well, it's over. And people will say, well, no, we got to get back next year. Well, then, it's circular for those people that, well, the goal is to get there, but you want to get back. But it's one of those where if we just look at things from a linear, that, well, it's over. It's done. There's nowhere to grow. There's nowhere further to go. Like, you get there, you're finished. It's done. But what can you do from what happened today, tomorrow? Can you make it better? Or is it going to be the same? Or is it going to be worse? And that's the thing. We have opportunities in faith to improve each day, because if we look at it as an ever-increasing, ever-expanding, growing, then, well, no, I'm just on pause from work right now. And when in the morning it comes back around, I'll unpause and I'll go back again. Before we came together tonight, didn't know specifically what we're going to be talking about, but looks like you got something from Yah for us to go in a direction, so I'll let you, which I don't know what it is, and we'll find out. I'll find out along with everybody else, so you can, if you'd like, you can go ahead and explain what came to mind for you.
Okay, yeah, so during this whole complex transaction this morning, what came to mind was a couple of things, like the word fear, the word self-conscious, the word insanity, and the word kind of like, just to keep repetitive. And so, because I'm trying to think of how, like, an analogy for this, but the thought process came because for the transaction, if I would have just done what I'm used to doing with customers, like, okay, this is, you brought this item back, so I'm going to return it for you. So I'm going to put the money back on the card you paid for it with. But usually when I do that, or there have been times where the customer doesn't prefer that, and so they get mad. And I knew that this was a transaction where, okay, if I tell them that this is how we're going to do that, they're not going to like it and get frustrated and mad, probably cause a scene, maybe run out the store. They might just take their items without paying. They might ask for the manager. Like, the situation is just going to escalate very quickly. And so I didn't want that to happen. So that's where fear comes in. Like, I didn't want them to get upset. And so I did it a different way. But because I did, it created like a snowball effect of other problems, like behind the scene without the customer. And so where am I going with this? So it created a snowball effect of other problems because I didn't do what I normally do, what I was supposed to do. And so I wonder if, like, that is kind of how we are in faith, where God is like, all right, just keep doing this. Like, no matter what, like, just keep sharing my gospel. Like, yes, you'll get bad reactions. Sometimes you'll get good reactions, but, like, don't stop sharing my message. And I'm wondering if past experiences, so sharing the message and having someone yell at you, or having someone not believe, or having someone debate with you, if those experiences stop us from, like, how we were doing it the first time, which doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be good for us to learn from, like, okay, that wasn't a good way to share it. Let me change the way I say it and try something new. Maybe that will work. But in my head, I was thinking, like, where have we stopped doing what God is telling us to do because we're scared of how people are going to respond because of past experiences, is kind of where I was going with this.
I had a few things come to mind. I'm going to start out with the word that you had said, the insanity. And I'll share an experience that I had that, and I actually had a dream about this a few years ago, and something that I had made an idol. And yeah, I brought it to my attention, and I'd mentioned about the football. Used to really be big into NASCAR racing. And I had a dream where Yah gave me, where they put me kind of like, think of it this way. Let's say you go to the track and you see like a drone kind of flying over, and you get to see the big, what the track looks like, the size, the stands, kind of like an overhead view, like a helicopter or a drone. And I just saw cars going around. And what was brought to me was, do you see that with watching the NASCAR? And NASCAR was just, and was an issue, which was a metaphor for the spiritual issue, was the cars go round and round in all those circles, but they don't go anywhere. Or yes, they're traveling in that circle or oval, but you're going around to the same things over and over again, and you're just going in circles and going in circles. And that's what insanity is. It's chaos. It's that repetition of, you have your mind is just going around in circles, and you're doing the same thing over and over, and you expect different results. But faith helps us to get away from insanity, which is the chaos, to sanity, which is the peace. And it takes practice. Because what does Yah care about NASCAR? It's just cars racing. What they care about is the things that are doing, that you are doing, that are sinful, that are dysfunctional, you're doing them over and over again, and you're not getting any different results. Stop doing the same things over and over again, expecting that things are just going to change magically, like with your job, that you're doing it a certain way, and it's not working. As long as you don't go against what the company tells you, which I wouldn't, and you could tell me this, but I'm thinking you're not intentionally going against what the company, you're just, hey, let me figure this out, figure out a different thing, because I'm in insurance, what I do, and there's times where I'll explain it, and the person will just be, all right, you're not getting it, so let me explain it a different way. Or you're not getting that, well, let me give you another scenario, well, let me explain it that way. The reality is you're not going to please everybody, and in faith especially, there's going to be a lot of people that you're not going to please. You're going to have people that you would think are your own family are going to hate you and put you to the side, like you're worth nothing. So there's a couple of things with this, but what's coming to mind is there's a beautiful scripture in the Old Testament, and if I'm thinking right, we may have talked about this when you and I were together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge them, and they'll make your path straight. And I had this thought with this morning. In all your ways, acknowledge them. Now, I'm not talking about an absolute, you do it in absolute actions perfected, but a mindset of acknowledge God. Yeah, I don't understand what's going on here with the register and all this stuff. Can you give me some help? I'm not getting it. Oh, you're acknowledging me. Okay, well, I'll help you. And acknowledge doesn't mean you're going to necessarily, well, wait a minute, I need to stop and go into a dark room and pray right now. It's, yeah, I need some help. Can you, I'm not getting it. And listen for their voice, which takes practice and time. Wow, you know what? Oh, why don't we do that? That'll work. I can do it this way. Okay, well, I'll do that. We're not going to have perfect days. And especially if you're seeking after God, you're going to be tested. Okay. Well, you say that you're going to seek me with all your heart. Well, let's just prove how much you're really going to seek me when you may expect things to be easy. Well, we're just going to turn up the heat a little bit and just see how you're going to respond. And we're just looking to see what your response is going to be. We're not looking for you being perfect in actions. We're just looking to see, what are you going to do? And you get frustrated, but then you go, oh, you know what? That's not appropriate to do that. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to be looking. Okay. All right. We see. But what are you going to do with it? See, it's not, here's something that I'm learning. I'll share with you as a help. With what you get with situations like that, it's not about the moment then. It's about the next time. And what I mean is, it doesn't mean that you don't learn from what happened today. Because have you ever said this? Well, I could have done better. I could have done this better. I could have done that better. You couldn't have done any better than what you did. Because if you could have, you would have. But tomorrow, what do you do? Is it going to be the exact same? Or is it going to be different? And even if it's just that much different, one little step, then there's improvement. Because if you do it the exact same, what is that going to benefit? No, next time, all right, well, now I see the person's coming in. They're probably going to be frustrated, but I know this is what's right to do. And that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to stand on that. Now, you have that in your forefront of your mind. How much easier is it going to be for the next time? Because with the podcast, I don't know how the next podcast is going to go, but be thinking more about what we're talking about now to help for the next one or the next circumstance than, well, how is this going to sound or how is this going to be, instead of, well, it's just what's y'all bringing to us right now. Does anybody that's listening have moments like you said? You're at work, you're somewhere, and you're thinking everything's going to be all great, and it just goes south, and everything just seems bad. And yeah, but especially if you're pursuing faith in God, you're going to be tested to where, do you really mean what you say? Are you really committed to this or not? Are you just going to be, well, if it's easy and everything is great, then I'll do it. But no. Faith in Yah is challenging. It takes work. It gets easier, but it's not easy. It's a noble task. Faith in God, true faith in God, not, well, I just, yeah, I believe God exists. No. You're seeking God with all your heart, and you really mean that, and you're diligently seeking God. All right, well, we're going to see if you mean this, because you really want to find us, then we'll show ourselves. But how are you going to respond? Are you going to find the fear of the Lord, or are you just going to be like, no, it's too hard? Well, then you're not going to find it. So those are just some thoughts that I had. I don't know if that brings maybe anything else to your mind about the situation.
I definitely see how it's a learning moment where, like you said, if I could have done something better, I would have. But in the moment, given the information that I had and the people involved, like, that was the best I could do at the moment. And then next time I'll just take what I learned from it. What I'm trying to wrap my head around now is, like, the, like, not the in-between, but the, like present moment. Like, I always think of going to the gym or working out as a good analogy for faith, because, like you said, it's not always easy. If you want to get stronger, you have to increase the weights. And if you wanted to maintain the muscle you have to go consistently. And so with that, it's like, I'm just trying to wrap my head around, what does it take to stay in the moment? Meaning, it's kind of like, remember your why. Like, why are you going to the gym? Why do I keep showing up? Why do I want this? But I wonder if there's, like, other questions to ask yourself or other things to reflect on that help you to be, like, stay on fire for it. Like, keep wanting to go to the gym. Keep wanting to follow in God. Like, yeah.
And I have not thought about this in a while, but here's what you're speaking to. Faith in God is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Have you ever done a sprint? You ever done a 50-yard dash, 40-yard dash, 100-yard dash?
I've ran to first base.
So you've done a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, a sprint, linear.
Mm.
Have you ever sprinted in a circle? Well, I guess you could. But for the example of, let's say, because I'll speak from my experience in 1984, a long time ago, when I was probably 80 pounds soaking wet. I did the 50-yard dash, and you just run in a straight line. All right, you're done. All right, I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'm done. Sprint. But what else do I have to do? I'm saved, so no. Marathon is typically 26 miles. And have you ever, how far would you say you've run in a one-time span?
Like two laps around the track. Like consecutively, like without stopping. Yeah, like two laps around the track, like half a mile. I'm not a marathon runner.
But to begin a marathon, you have to take the first step. You have to, for example, you start walking, then you can start jogging, then you can start running, and then you start running. For example, if you're training for a marathon for 26 miles, you're not going to run 26 miles every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's too
mm-hmm.
much. You'll run, let's just say for training, you run a mile. We'll just start out, you're going to run half a mile, then you're going to take a break for a day. Next day, you're going to do a half a mile, take a break. Next day, you're going to go 3/4 of a mile, a break, 3/4. And this isn't a plan that I've done before, but I just know from playing trumpet, being a musician, that if you're not playing, we'll put it to the playing versus the running, you don't play for a week or 2 weeks, well, your lips are going to hurt because you haven't, your muscle strength has gone down. So you start slowly, but what you do is you take whatever you're doing and you be consistent with it. Like you run a mile and then you run another mile. All right. And then once you get to the point where you get to the end of the mile and you're not tired, then we'll push it to 2 miles. Then you'll do that and you'll consistently run 2 miles. Then you'll run 3, then you'll run 4. Then you'll build up to 6, then you'll build up to 10. And it's the same thing with faith. You start building and you persevere and you endure because it's a long marathon. Then you, let's just say you get to where you run the marathon. Well, you get to where your body's used to it and you're able to endure the 26. Well, let's go a little bit further. You take all that strength that you've built from those consecutive miles with you, like you have all that strength that you've built. Now you push it a little bit further where you're really tired and you're going to stop. All right, we'll push it just a little bit further and then you stop and you're out of breath. Okay, well, now you persevered. Now that'll start building more endurance. And the same thing with this is that you're just starting out, so you can't expect to be at 26 miles, snap a finger, you're going to tire yourself out. You'll make it, and this is just an example basis, you'll make it a half a mile and you're just, I can't, I'm just too tired. All right, well, slow down just one step at a time because you're in training, because faith is training. It's practice. We've been doing this quite a while, but you build on it and you learn and you grow. You apply the lessons and you'll learn these lessons. You'll have days where you run and you're just like, I just need to stop. I'm just tired. Okay. Well, it's going to take diligence and work, but it's a mental persistence that, okay, am I going to go a little bit further? This is challenging. People are looking at me funny. I don't know. No, but you've got to have that a mindset of that you're never going to quit, because the point of faith is that you start and you never quit. And that's why even Messiah himself said that the one that perseveres and endures to the end shall be saved. If you're running a marathon, you make it to 25.999 miles and the finish line is right there and you stop. I made it. No, but you didn't cross the finish line. You didn't finish. Therefore, you get nothing. So faith lessons, there's lessons in everything. I mean, take today, let me ask you this. Have you been thinking about any concepts, or have you set your mind in anything recently? Just out of curiosity, have you prayed anything? Ask God for anything?
No, because when there was a moment after the customer where I was like, it was quiet up front, so I was like, okay, let me pray to God and see what we want to talk about the podcast tonight with the original topic that I had planned. And nothing of that was coming to mind. But then the new topic of like fear hindering us for the present task came to mind. So I was like, oh, okay, got it. That's a topic. But then it didn't go any further than that. Like, I didn't ask, like, okay, show me more. Show me, like, which direction. Show me, like, analogies or anything like that. Because I kind of set my mind, like, oh, okay, heard from God. That's it. And, like, I kind of wondered, too, like, was I quick to listen in a bad way? Like, were there going to be other topics after the first one was given to me? So really, did I stop listening after the person, like, I catch myself doing this a lot. When someone starts talking, I'll listen to like their first couple of words and then jump in and cut them off because I have a thought, instead of like listening to them all the way through their full sentence.
All right, so I'm going to put this back on you for a moment. Take the situation that you had today and think about, how is Yah speaking to you spiritually in regards to the circumstances that you had today? Because I had something that came to mind with this that you may not have seen, but speaking to the journey of faith, what is Yah telling you in this situation today? And as you're pondering that, which there's no rush for you to, if you're thinking about it, it's perfectly fine. Are we off the topic that you had at the beginning?
Like, is it a different topic?
Right. Are we, and you haven't said what it was, but just think about what you got. And because, and I've had this, and I'll just speak from experience, that something will come to you and you think that, well, maybe there's something else. And what's interesting is what you got goes along with this, and as well as what Yah is giving you. Because, and I'll share with, because the topics are whenever Yah wants them to come out. It's not that we have a specific topic that we're just going to stay on. But what came to you was instant gratification. Well, because do not the people, the customers, they want that, well, give it to me. You need to give me my service. You need to give it to me now, now, now. Well, a lot of that is based in because of the entitlement and the programming and things like that. But we're programmed as a society to want everything now easy. And the faith journey is definitely a marathon that takes time. And it's not going to, you'll have things that'll come to mind, but you'll have challenges. And I was just thinking about you that the faith journey is not a rush. Like, you're not going to be able to rush, but Yah doesn't want you to delay either. It's supposed to be a steady pace, but I was just thinking about that because we'll get things and we'll just think, well, it'll be something different. I was just like, well, no, it goes together. Because, like you said, you were thinking about fear and then the insanity and then, you know, what's going to happen or what are people going to do and say, and I just want to get this done. So I was just thinking about that concept that it's not that, you know, that's not what we were supposed to talk about. It could be just, well, that's, we'll be a part of it or be a part of a future win. Or so just lessons learned from that. But it looks like from your reaction that Yah is speaking to you in this. So anything you would like to share, but I've just, for me, I'll give you opportunity to speak because I've had so many times like this where Yah will give you things in the midst of different things or speaking or whatnot.
Yeah, I just see how the instant gratification comes into play, because I wanted like the customer to experience that instant gratification. I guess because of like pride, or what is it, like, or like praise. It's like, oh, thank you, like, you helped me, like, I'm glad I went to like your line, which then plays into like my ego. And so I see how there's my microphone. Oops. Okay, I'll restate what I was saying. But I see how instant gratification comes into play, because I wanted the customer to experience that at my line, because it would show that, like, yes, I'm a good cashier, or it would reassure that I was qualified for that job, which is where I think like the word self-conscious came in, because it's like I needed like that approval or that reassurance that I was doing a good job, or that, oh, other cashiers wouldn't have been able to do this, so like kind of like let me try something new, or like let me take lead on this, which is where I think Yah was showing me like that I'm not the one who takes lead on, like, lead on it. Yeah.
Well, I'll give, just share something with you you didn't know, but like with my life, that so many times had I been looking for, and the term would be the attaboy, or you could say attagirl too, that you just want to make sure that you're accepted, that, hey, you did a good job. And Yah will give that. But the true attaboy or attagirl is just do what's right. Not that you're looking every second for somebody to say good job, but ultimately in the end, when you stand before God, it'll be well done, good and faithful servant. But there's times where for a while, like, you would not hear anything from people or Yah, and you think, well, am I doing this or that? Well, from circumstances that I've had, that I have had Yah say, you did that well, you did a good job with that. Other times, don't really hear anything, but I'm not necessarily looking for that. In the past, and still at times, looking for people to say, good job, you need, you know, I'm looking for that praise. But we look to do so many things on our own understanding. And Yah says, no, Lexi, trust in me with all your heart. It doesn't say you don't have understanding. It says don't lean, don't depend on your own understanding, because that's what'll get you every single time. That's what got you. Why do you have fear? You're leaning on your own understanding. Why do you have fear? It has to do with punishment. Somebody's going to say I did wrong, then I'm going to get fired, and then I lose my job, and then how am I going to live? And all these things are not necessarily conscious, it's lower conscience, but because the word says that fear has to do with punishment. It also says perfect love drives out fear. Drives out, not eliminates, drives out. So the more we trust in God, more fear is being driven out, because fear is about the unknown, the uncertainty. But with Yah, it's about certainty. It's about knowing. So this is just I just see this as a step, because you've started coming Sundays and Wednesdays. Oh, okay. We're going to see, we're looking at, are you going to be fully committed to this faith? And you're going to have to realize you're going to have to deal with difficult people. And you're going to have to deal with people that don't want to hear what you have to say and that are obnoxious and rude. If you can't deal with it in the world like that, how are you going to really deal with it when people are coming to kill you for faith? Are you going to be able to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Or you can't do that to me. How dare you treat? Oh, wow. Doesn't the word say that if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you? If they kill me, they're going to kill you. So you're pursuing faith in God. How do you think you're going to be treated? You're going to be treated like my son was treated. So these, I just see this as, and I don't know if you see it or if you thought about it, but the function that's in this, that you can take, when you pursue faith in Yah, you can take every opportunity to do the best you can. And now as I'm speaking, Yah is giving me the word I was thinking of. You mentioned how do you live, what we could say maybe your topic was, how do you live in the moment of it and deal with it on a moment-by-moment basis? Okay. People will talk about this, and they'll say, just focus on the moment. Don't think about the past. Don't think about the future. It's just the moment. It's just the moment. It's just the moment. Okay. Now, think about that. If you don't bring in the past and the future, you can't live in the moment. And I'll explain this. I get the premise. Don't focus about, like, you're coming to work and you spilled the coffee in the car and you're off, right? Just don't forget about that. Think about the present. Think about the moment. I see what people are saying. But all of your experiences in the past, even up to that point, have made you what you are in this moment. Don't dwell and wallow in all of this past. Don't worry about all this, what's coming in the future. Be in a balance so that you can live in the peace of the moment. And how it works is you look at your past and you rend it. Have you ever heard of the term rend? It means you tear. Like if you've, we're not going to do it, but the shirt that's here, I'll just give as an example. If I were to rend this, like rend a garment, what a note. For those that are out there, I've got a shirt in my hand. If I were to take this, and I'm not going to do it, but I'll take the top. If I were to take this and just go and just rip it, it means to rip. Like it means to tear it. Like not just, well, we're going to fray this and just kind of. No, it means you take it and you rip it. And that's what it means to really to repent to God is you rend the past. Like I am not doing that. It's like you rip yourself away from the life of sin. You rend the garment. And that's like Yah says, when you rend your clothes, like you take and you tear it to where it's, you're making it to where it can't be fixed other than by Yah or a new garment. So what you do is you look to the past, which you can't change the past. You can't change those circumstances that have already happened. But you can look at the past and change your mindset that was there to then change your future. But in faith, it's all about the future, because what do you have faith in God? And if you're not hoping in God, then you're looking to the future. You're looking to living with God forever because you're looking to the future and you're looking at the past, you're able to then walk in the moment. Because we've talked about this before, but what people will do is, well, no, don't think about the past. It's all about the moment. Well, you suppress all of that past and you don't deal with it, then you can't have peace in the moment nor have peace going forward. And it's just, it's a, and this doesn't mean that, as you and I were talking, like that you just, like all your past is gone and you're just all, you use the past and you have the hope of salvation for the future to where it's, you walking in faith, it sustains you to where you're using the past experiences to keep you moving. And it's the future that you look to by trusting God that keeps you moving in this. And the term for this, and tell me if you've heard this, mindfulness. You ever heard that term? It means I'm aware of what I'm doing, and that this is a practice. With faith in God, you're able to have the opportunity to think in the moment while analyzing your lower conscience and why I'm doing what I'm doing, so that I can then look to the future. But the what if is worrying too much about the future. Well, I don't care about anything. Well, you're not looking to the past. So what it does is, in order to really have that peace that's beyond all understanding, you must find faith in Yah, and Yah will help you to have that mental balance to be able to change things that happen in your past so that you can then live in the moment, which is interesting, is the moment involves the past and the upcoming future, because you said fear, and because I know this, what if my manager gets involved, or what if they get upset, and what if, well, you're thinking future, but then it's your programming that says, well, I want to be accepted, and I don't want people to not like me, so I've got to be happy, or I've got to put on this mask, or I've got to do this, and if I say this, then they're going to think that, so I've got to do this, so you've just got all this storm and everything going on, and well, I just want to be in the moment. Well, but the way to be in that moment is to know why you're doing what you're doing. And the way to do that is faith in God, Yah teaching you. So the mindfulness isn't, it means you're with the help of Yah, you're more and more being able to have the opportunity to be aware of why you're doing what you're doing so that you can control yourself. And just, I'll give you a moment to share, but that's how you live in the moment. You cannot ignore the past and the future to live in the moment. You've got to embrace. Doesn't mean that you accept everything in the past in order to, because then the present state that you have, you're moving. Well, the future is going to be determined by the decisions that you make moment by moment.
You know, and this just came to mind because, like, I think it's definitely from Yah, but to embrace, I thought of, like, emotions, because they both start with E, like E-M. But then when you, like, embrace someone, you open your arms and bring them close to your heart. And so embracing, like, what Yah is trying to teach you, it means, like, to bring close to your heart. Yeah.
Well, have you ever heard the word ignore? What does ignore mean?
Like to not pay attention to it.
Can I embrace you if I'm ignoring you?
No.
And you see what I'm doing, that I know you're there, but I'm choosing to not embrace you. Like, no. Well, remember, no, I don't want to deal with the past. Oh, you're ignoring it. No, I'm not ignoring it. I just don't want to deal with it. You're ignoring it. Because ignorance is not, get tongue twisted here. Ignorance is not knowing. Ignorance is acknowledging and choosing to not acknowledge it, pretend, or look at it, because Messiah told me this, and he told us as well. He told me, embrace the struggle. And you hit it right on the head. You embrace someone. If I were to embrace you, I'm bringing you closer to me. Am I ignoring you? No, I'm facing you. I'm not ignoring you. And there's things that everybody has in their past, the old term skeletons in the closet. There's things that you've experienced as a child that you may not even remember in your conscious mind, but it's in your lower conscience. Everybody has trauma. Everybody is damaged. And what happens is that we're told to suppress it, ignore it. And well, you're sick. That's just part of it. Instead of, this is going to be hard, but I've got this struggle with anxiety. And Yah brought this to me that I didn't realize that I've had a lot of moments of being depressed. And I was like, I don't see where I'm And boy, are they showing me things that I didn't see where I'm pressing myself down. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize all those years. And what's interesting, I was thinking about my dad, because he struggles with depression. And Yah gave me things in my mind, just seeing things of, wow, I bet you when I was younger, he was depressed, and this is what he did, and this is why he did it. But he didn't. He thinks it's a disease, like he's sick and he just takes medication. He doesn't look at it as it's his own. It's because of his thinking and his mental state. But Yah doesn't want us to ignore things. They want us to either acknowledge and embrace or disregard. And what I mean is, I'm not saying that, okay, well, I'm a believer in God, so that means everything that's wrong, I'm just going to go out and embrace everything. I'm going to embrace pornography. I'm going to embrace Satanism because I'm just supposed to not ignore anything. No, what God is saying is, think about how Yah is. Is Yah going to sit there and be like, oh, I'm just going to ignore that? Or they say, well, that's not righteous. I'm not going to think about that. That those people are doing this. We'll deal with them. That we should be going through life recognizing things and then choosing to disregard that. And that's the thing, like with focusing on Yah and turning, we just recently, how do you hear the whisper? How do you turn off the noise? Well, you ignore it, and what happens? And oh my gosh, and you ignore it, and it just keeps, and you just say, no, I see that that's noisy. I'm choosing not to listen to that. And yes, you have to train yourself to do that. But it's just like, that's wicked. I'm not doing that. As opposed to, nope. And I'll share this, just a personal struggle of mine is through the years looking at pornography. And the problem I had was, is no, I'm not looking at it. Nope. No, it's not right. I'm not. And what y'all told me was, and a lot of people would hear this and say, what? Look at it. I was like, what? Look at it and figure out what the draw is. And you would think, why would God tell you? Now, again, I'm going to be careful. I'm not telling anybody to look at pornography. What I'm saying is Yah made it clear for me to do it for a reason. And it was because you've been ignoring it, and you need to look at it and watch it and figure out, why is this a draw for you? Why are you looking at it? When you do that, then you can start figuring out, well, I don't want that, because good. So you see it. Now you disregard. So that's not like, oh, look, I can look at pornography just to see why I look at it. No. And the example given was, we were sitting around. It was me and, if I remember, it was Phil and Josh. Might have been Sergio too. I can't remember, one night. And it was like, stop avoiding the fire. Go into the fire. And you could use depression, anxiety, self-confidence, whatever the issue is, whatever struggle you would have, like pornography just happens to be one that came to my mind, but something else. Stop running from it and embrace it and figure out why this is a draw, so that you can figure out to say, that's why I'm doing it. I'm not doing that anymore. I turn from that. That will help, because when it comes up again, wait a minute, no, I'm not. I know why I looked at that. I'm not doing that anymore. And because if we ignore it, we're suppressing it. And if we keep suppressing the past, then the more you suppress, just like a pressure cooker, you press it and press it and press it, somebody's going to push you. Like today, you'll have a moment where you don't deal with whatever the issues are, and not just you, but me, that you can blow your top, because that pressure cooker builds up and you don't deal with it. And then we've got a bigger problem, because then when it blows up, all of that stuff blows out, and who gets affected by it? Other people around that you didn't necessarily mean to hurt. So this is what I'm learning more and more, Lexi, is the things that when we talk about something, or something is given to you, like you have these thoughts, it's for you, but it's for me, it's for everybody else on these things, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if we don't have fear of God, then we're not going to understand the things of God. We're not going to submit to God. We're not going to be able to change. So everybody has fear, because you know in your heart that you're a lawbreaker, because that's the way God set it up, to where you can keep running and you can attempt to hide, but the truth is you can't hide from God. And you can either face God now, or you can hide from God, and then in the end, when God stands for you before you with that perfect light, then everybody's got to face God and have to answer.
Well, yeah, and I like what you said about how, no, you're not calling anyone to like face the things that are of the world and, you know, not of goodness, of truth, of love and all that. But what I got out of that was you faced it not on your own. So I got the analogies of like you go to look for skeletons in the closet or like the monsters under the bed. You bring a flashlight to see. Or if you are going, is it called like scaling in a cave? Like if you go down in a cave, that's like scaling a mountain. I think there's a word for if you're like climbing down a cave. There's like a word for it, and it might come to you. But with that, I'm thinking like you don't just fall into the cave. You're not like, oh, I'm gonna go see the bottom of the cave. Okay, here I go. Take one step forward, and because you'll hit the ground and like you'll probably die from that. But if you want to see the bottom of the cave, you strap up, you take your harness, and maybe even someone at the top, like watching the harness, or if you're climbing down a mountain, like someone to belay you. And so you do it with equipment and with a plan and with, what am I trying to say? Like some sort of foundation to bring you back. You don't just go in it blindly. You don't just take nothing, and because then you'll be in the darkness the whole time and maybe even consumed by the darkness. If I were to go down the cave with nothing and you were at the top looking down at me, eventually you wouldn't be able to see me because it's just pitch black down there and the darkness would consume me. But if I had a flashlight or a reflective vest and you shone the light on me, you would be able to see me.
I don't know exactly what the word would be. I know what you're talking about, that you, let's say you had like a team of people that went with you. And have you ever been, and it's been so many years, have you been to the Grand Caverns or the Luray Caverns that are nearby here? Have you ever been like in a cave like that, like monitored?
Maybe as a kid, but never. No, I like didn't do that myself.
What you speak is interesting because with this, you can look under your bed or look in the closet without a flashlight, but you're not going to see anything. And most of the time you would be scared, but then when the light comes on, the darkness flees. And see, that's the thing. The truth of God is that light. We need Yah to be able to dig into the cave of the lower conscience, because how much darkness is there? And the reason you don't see it is you don't see it until the light comes up. Do you see this, Lexi? Oh my gosh. It was just like here, because you had your microphone turned off, but I could see you were getting emotional, which is, emotion is, faith doesn't remove emotion. It's, the goal is not to let, you don't have decisions being made in an emotional state. Like if you're crying and you're really upset, don't use that time to make a decision. Just think it out. Because part of that is, I can see Yah speaking to you. Do you see this and this? And I've had that too, that just sometimes you just get that just overwhelming, oh my gosh, I just didn't recognize and just realize that, thank you, or the gratitude or whatever, or the sadness, or which is, and all that is healthy to experience. But with going with what you're saying, if you don't have the truth, then you're going to be walking around blind anyway, and you're in darkness. Thank you. I didn't know the microphone was off. You're walking around in darkness. And I remember Messiah told his disciples that if you have two people are walking together and they're both blind, that both fall in the pit. So you need one that sees that. And I can see Yah too. Yah is protecting you, keeping you harnessed, where you're going to go down in there, but you're not going to be stuck there. But you're going to have to look, because it's really dark down here, and you're going to have to put into the work to search. And we got to be careful going into a cave, because I don't know if you've seen some of these cave exploring things that have gone wrong with people, that they'll go into a really tight crevice and they can't get out and they're stuck there. They're upside down. They're and just using the opportunity that make sure that you have the help of Yah to show you where to go, what you're not seeing, because sometimes and make sure it's Yah led, because you find something that it can really hit hard and you don't understand. And Yah has the ability to bring back memories when you were a child, that things you don't even remember, that you can go back to a circumstance to help. Because if you ask them, could you shake my subconscious? Could you bring things up that I'm not seeing so that I can learn? But just be prepared that when they do it, be looking for those opportunities that come up, like you have a thought or you have a dream, something like that. And wow, I didn't realize that I was doing this. Just thinking back to your day there, the more moments that we have like that, then we have opportunity to learn things to apply for another time. And I know for a long time I would look at that and think, well, I should have done this better, I should have done that better. But look at it as a good functional thing, that what can I learn for the next experience? How can I apply the lessons of faith, where when I come in front of people, when was I that person getting upset back at somebody else? Have I ever acted like that? Have I ever said things to people like that and gotten frustrated and wanted them to give me what I wanted now? Have you ever seen I wouldn't say like a favorite movie, but a movie I watched as a kid that this comes to mind. Have you ever seen the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
I think so, because that's the one where like his grandpa's in the bed, like there's like 8 people all sharing a bed. Yeah.
It's about Charlie and getting that golden ticket to Willy Wonka's factory, and we even, from Yah, we got the correlation of the circumcision of the heart. The fullness of faith is that golden ticket that's available that everybody can have, but people choose not to pursue it and get that to where you can get into the kingdom. But there was one of the kids that was in there, and I'll give you the line, that there's a famous song in this movie. And she was all about her dad giving her everything that she wanted, and she wanted it now. And she says, "Don't care how, I want it now." Well, there ain't any better way to bring about instant gratification. I don't care how, I want it now. Well, in faith, what about contentment and patience? Well, if it's all about getting it now and I don't care how, well, how can you build patience and contentment if you get everything that you want now? No, you want the things of God. There's work that you got to put into, but the patience will pay off. Well, I want an apple from an apple tree right now. Well, no, you have to wait because it's not the season for apples. Well, I don't care. Well, in this world that we have, we can have different countries that can ship different. But if you weren't in having that, like we're living, let's say in what's called the biblical times, that you have the orchards and things. No. You've got to plant the seed and wait. You got to be patient. But wow, when you get the fruit or the vegetable, man, that was worth the wait. Man, that's so much better. See, when I was a kid, and not that I'm old, but people would say that I'm older than you, I ordered a magazine in the mail, and I had to wait 3 to 4 weeks to get the magazine in the mail. And it was a check or money order. And I think they still do have money orders, but you wrote a check and mailed it. Or if you use credit card, you had to wait for the check to clear before you could get it. Or you could get what's called cash on delivery, where they bring it to you and then you pay for it. And now that would be unheard of, that I'm not shipping you anything unless you pay me first. But think about Amazon Prime. From where we live, you can get packages the same day now. You're going to pay for it. But do we really... is it really that you need it that day, or do you want it that day? See, Yah will provide for all of our needs, do their glorious riches, not all of our wants. And I can see this too for you as you're pursuing faith, that you're going to be faced with challenges because there's an enemy that doesn't want you to pursue faith, that has the ability to work through people in the spiritual realm to get them riled up in front of you. And so you can remember, wait a minute, my battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and evil forces of darkness. So this is another opportunity for that. And how can I learn to be like Messiah if I don't have challenges to show? We're going to watch you to see what your response is on this. And it's not about failure. The failure would be you just don't pursue it at all, or you quit in that circumstance. But yeah, a good lesson with this is what I'm learning with what we're doing now is focus less on what the topic is. And when something like you got two things you got, embrace the fact that you got that, and let's just see what Yah does with it, because what I'm doing now is I'm doing this. Not, what's the topic? Is this the topic? Now it's, what's the topic? All right, it's this. Okay, well, we'll see where it is, because yeah, you know where it's going. So I just see this as a neat way to, Lexi, do you see that we have the ability to change this and just trust? Don't lean on your own understanding. And we actually talked about this last Wednesday, bringing this back to your mind, that is your faith today good enough for tomorrow? Well, an opportunity to put that into practice. Well, what can you learn for tomorrow? If you learn nothing for tomorrow, then it's a wasted day. But you can use this as, no, this is going to be a good day, so now this is what I'm going to do. Okay, and then there'll be more challenges to face. So I just see this as a good positive for you.
Yeah, and as you were saying, like, you see, or like, Yah sees how you respond to a situation, and you said it's not really like a pass or fail. It's just a, like, how do you respond? Like, are you ready for this or not? And I thought to like a research class in psychology, it was like, or even past research that other famous scientists have done that I should know because I majored in psychology, but I didn't. But it's okay. But like, they put the mouse in the box to see how they respond, or they have the pigeon in the box to see if they're going to peck this rectangle in the side of the box. It's not pass or fail. It's not, oh, they didn't peck it. Like, all right, that's an ineffective bird. Like, get a new bird. You know, they're just like, oh, well, maybe the box was too high. Like, let's bring the rectangle down. Or maybe, like, oh, we need kind of, like, maybe a reward, but we need, like, a response. Like, oh, when they peck the box, let's give them a treat. When they don't peck the box, let's flash a light over here to bring them back around to the right direction. So I like how it's not a test in the sense of pass or fail. It's, I don't know what other word it would be, like a performance.
The quality control. My dad was in that when he was working, and because the testing of something is testing the quality of it. Like, for example, let's say we made a product and it's referred to as we test it on the open market. How is it going to perform in the market? Is it going to sell? Is it not going to sell? And we put it out there to see, is this a good product? And I just had this come to mind as you were speaking. There is a pass and fail, but it's where it's placed. Okay. You don't find faith in God. In the end, the pass or fail is you had faith in my son, you enter the kingdom, you go to the abyss, you go to hell. And the reason I know that is because Yah gave us some words to look at, and one of the words was being a failure. And it's when it's all done, either you started the journey of faith and you quit, and you stay in that, you fail. You blaspheme mother, that you fall away, you failed, and there's no way coming back, or you never did find faith, so you fail. But in that, because I thought about that, is the reason the pass or fail was so prevalent now in education is because it's a linear concept. But why do we keep going over things again and again? Well, I failed. No, it's we are expanding and growing in the circular because we're going to talk about fear again. But when we come back to fear, we're going to add a little bit more information on what you already have. And I'm thinking back, what do I remember from my fourth grade, fifth grade classes in school? I don't remember a lot of stuff. But if I really was learning that, oh, I remember that. Yeah, we did that and I can do this. That means I could open up a book and do geometry. I could do algebra trig. I could do calculus and would have no problem with it. But I didn't learn that. I just got head knowledge, but I didn't apply it. And the thing with faith is that if we think that we are just, I've got it. No, you may have what you have, but don't bury it. No, multiply it so that it can continue because the podcast, we're not talking about the same things. We're increasing and growing on what we're doing with this ministry that Yah has entrusted us with. That the goal is not to stop, because even when we die, it's a new beginning in the kingdom and we start in perfection. Now we need to learn what perfection is about. How do we live in perfection now, which we don't know what that's like yet. But just, it's so much about your mindset, because if you think from a linear concept, then everything has an end and you don't, well, I'm not going to do that because I'm done with it. I don't need to revisit that again. But faith is not like that. And you're going to, with things that are coming up in your life and in mine, you're going to revisit things, but what do you do with it on the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth? Because I remember we had so many conversations on this where it's not about what happened. It's about what you do with it. Because did you have Yah come to you and say, Lexi, you're a failure. You see what you did. There's no hope. It's lost. It's gone. No, it's just, all right, what can you learn from this? What can you do to improve this? Because it's about, we talked about discipline. Discipline means it's a practice. And was it softball? Because you mentioned you slid. Well, do you just go, all right, here's the softball schedule, and we just play the games, that's it. So you didn't just play the games, and that was it? You just, whenever the game was, you just got there and showed up, and you just played the game, that was it?
No, you had to, like, warm up beforehand. And then you would practice throughout the week.
That was the word I was looking for. Yeah, because... I play trumpet, and there ain't no way I'm going in there to play the performance, and I haven't warmed up, and I haven't, heck no, I'm not doing that. And that's the thing. It's the, see this, this what we're doing here, this is the performance. Like, this should be, we just have Socratic conversation. We shouldn't be, well, what are we, no, that's the practice room. That the practice room for you is, all right, well, what is there to learn about today? And because if you were doing that here, then Lexi, are you with me? You're thinking about something. No, you go into the practice room. Then when we meet now, it's just like the conductor's up there and we start playing and we just go wherever y'all wants us to go. Is this speaking to what you were experiencing today?
I think like a lot is being revealed from the moment, like afterwards. Like, I think I learned stuff in the moment, but I'm learning in addition to now. And I can speak on, like, the first topic I got was instant gratification. And I think that's, like, I see how instant gratification hinders us from growing, because we want the end result now. We want the growth now, and because we're not getting it right now, we, or at least I tend to think, like, well, what's the point? Like, because I don't, the finish line, the trophy isn't in my hand, so I'm like, well, what's the point? Because I'm like, if I don't feel that feeling now, how do I know I'll feel that feeling in the end?
Let me ask you this. What's one of your favorite meals?
pork barbecue.
Have you ever bought a Boston butt and actually cooked it yourself in a crock pot?
No, I have not.
Well, that's just one cut of meat that I've made before, because I like pork barbecue as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you, have you ever had barbecue, like whole hog barbecue? Like, have you been to a barbecue where they had an actual whole pig that they cooked?
Mm-mm. Don't you have to, like, don't they cook it in the ground?
I think they can. They'll have it on a grill, but I mean, it's an interesting sight. But the reason I'm bringing up is, if you've never made, and most people have, I'm not going to say everybody, but the majority of people have made a home cooked meal. You get the groceries, like the vegetables, like you make it yourself. If you were to do that and make it yourself, how much more enjoyable is it? The taste of it when you make it yourself versus you drive to a barbecue place and you get it. Now, yes, they've had to prepare it, but how much better is it when you do it yourself? You put in the work, and that's the thing. Go ahead.
Well, I think that's like why we don't make a home cooked meal. It's because, like, oh, it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. I think time is like the biggest struggle for me, where it's like, oh, how else could I have been using that time? Where, like, I go to, like, Chick-fil-A, like, go through the drive-thru and get something, then I'll have more time afterward to do, like, whatever the opportunities are, versus making a home-cooked meal now, not getting that instant gratification, but getting a more sustainable result, where, like, I see instant gratification kind of like the peace and happiness, like instant gratification is temporary, but satisfaction is fulfilling.
Getting more, once another topic you got, so Yah's giving you more information on, do you see how this correlates? Yeah, because the I remember this as a kid and they still make it. I saw it in the store and it's expensive. Carnation instant breakfast. And it's this powdered milk that you mix up like a milkshake for breakfast. Yeah, because you're on the run and you need this quick breakfast. But think about it. What's the hurry? Do we put demands on ourselves that take time away from other things that we could have time to do others? Because where does it say in the Word of God that you've got to establish an insurance industry and an automobile industry and a grocery store? We've done all those things. So we take more time out instead of, and me and Phil were talking about this recently, that businesses are in it for a selfish perspective, because if you really had, let's just say where you live, if you had an apple orchard and I had a grapevine, a grape vineyard, and Josh and Anna Ruth had potatoes and corn. And I don't know if you've ever lived with anybody that had a garden. I did growing up, and you always have way more food than you think, and you're giving it away, and you're trying to put squash on people, not literally, but like squash and tomatoes. Do you want anything? I'll give you some tomatoes. No, I'm good. No, will you give them away? If everybody would do that and you shared everything, you wouldn't need to spend all this money at the grocery store. Everybody would have what they needed, but greed becomes involved, like Chick-fil-A. Do you really need Chick-fil-A? No, I don't, and I like Chick-fil-A, but you don't need it. But we do it because we're lazy and we have invested other time, or we want to do other things, and we say, well, I don't have time. The interesting thing about time isn't the issue. It's your decisions. Like right now, I could say, well, I don't have time to go to the grocery store because we're doing the podcast. Yeah, I do. But I'd have to make a decision to not do the podcast to free up the time to, so the time isn't the issue. It's what we do with it. And what's interesting is y'all revealed this to us recently. The secret of time, for time not to matter to you, is, and this is a continual practice, a mindset, only do the things that you want to do. Stop doing the things you don't want to do, because when do you not have time? Or, hey, Sean, can you help me paint the room? Well, I don't have time because I've got to, or I don't want to do it. So therefore, Gosh, it's just taking so long. And yeah, but think about something in your mind that you really love doing. Are you thinking about time? No.
Isn't there a saying about time where it's like if time flies when you're having fun because you're enjoying what you're doing rather than thinking about how much longer until you leave for work?
Right, because how many people hate going to work and can't wait for retirement instead of how about I choose to like my work, and you have to train your mind to like it. And it's just like you said, or another term is if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life, which you do work, but it's not work to you. And then therefore time, quote, stands still, or time, man, time's just going by slow today. Well, think about that. You're not thinking about it, but when you don't want to do something, how much longer we got? I want to go home. It's taking too long. And it was just one of those where just a mindset change of if you think in the circular and not in the linear, then yes, like tonight, the podcast, 7:30. Yes, I get that. That's a specific time. But if our mindset is, all right, we've got to get it all done in a half hour, or we have to get it all done in 45 minutes, no more, no less, then I'm being hindered. But if you just relax and say, this is the time of the podcast, and it doesn't matter how long it is, then you're not focused on that, and then you're free to do what you want. Because sometimes what will happen is churches will say, all right, well, this sermon won't be any longer than 20 minutes. Well, why? Well, I don't want people to think that I don't care about their time. But think about that. If you're hindering Yah and their message, because what if Yah says, no, you need to be in here for 3 hours? Well, no, we can't be in here 3 hours, Yah. Well, then I'm not going to speak. Because why am I going to come in and speak when you're going to interrupt me and stop my message? I'm not doing that. So I'm seeing this as and this was brought to me, are you learning your lesson? Like a lesson is coming. Are you learning? Are you applying? Or are you letting it go by the wayside? But that's just, those were the most recent podcasts that we had, that how are you using your time? Because life can be so much better when the thing, and you have to make conscious decisions on everything. Like even I found myself with cutting the grass. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, no, I'm going to cut this grass. I want to, because it's going to make the yard look nice. It's going to be, and as I started, it was like that weight of, you know, I want to do something else. But then what was that? I want to do something else. So if you do what you want to do, then that's where the submission lies versus the obligation. The obligation is you don't want to, but you do it anyway, and God doesn't like that. But you do it because you want to. I'm not worried about time. I'm just going to do the best I can. That's where Yah wants us to be. And again, you've got a 30-some years of programming of doing things in an obligatory. It's going to take time to reverse that. So this is all a practice, not getting everything done at one time.
Well, I noticed how you said, like, if you love what you do, keyword being love, like, if we do things out of fear, it's an obligation. But if we do things out of love, did you say submission? Like it's you wanting to do it rather than like doing it out of fear. You do it out of love, makes you want to do it. I thought I had something with cutting the grass, but it's not coming to me all of a sudden.
The way that Yah works is if they want it to come around, it'll come to your mind in the appropriate time. But no, you hit it right on it, that it is, you start, well, that's awesome, because it starts with fear, and that drives the obligation, and Yah knows that. They know that you're going to fear them because you know they can punish you, and you're looking to avoid punishment, but it's to be transferred to a love, a desire for God, then therefore that will drive the submission aspect. And because if somebody says, you're forcing me, it's not submission. Think about that. If you're doing something that you really want to do, how can somebody force you to do it? They can't. Now, if you don't want to do it, Well, you're forcing me. Or you would say, no, you're not forcing me. I want to do it. It'd be like, I want to go to work. I can't believe they're forcing me to. No, you're just hurting yourself. That this is the lessons that Yah gives, they give to where, just like you had a thought, they give you, if you apply their lessons, they give you what you need to live in the moment, which gives you the ability to look at your past, into your future, so that you can walk in the moment, which is that balance. Because the balance where Messiah is, he's in the moment. He's not dwelling on the past, but he has to look at the past because, well, these are the things that have happened, but they're just, the difference is they are just like we're called a human being. They're a spiritual being. So they're being, which means you live in the moment. But a lot of times the in the moment is you suppress the past and you don't embrace it. You just, nope, in the moment. But that's not healthy, because at some point you're going to have to deal with what's in the cave. So if you deal with what's in the cave, then you'll be walking in light. And think about if you look in the dark and you replace it with light, then you're in a cave that's lit up. Well, what's so bad about a cave that's lit up? I can see where I'm going. I see here. Wow, look at that. It's an underwater spring. Let's get some water. As opposed to I don't know what's going on. This is a dark cave. I don't know what to do. But Yah has the ability. That's the thing. The light will always drive out the darkness. The darkness cannot drive out the light, because the light is more powerful than the dark. But yeah, I'm seeing Yah giving you a lot of information as you're just thinking about different topics that you were given, and just even with them giving you the thing about the happy and the peace. Like, can you be, I can't remember what it was, can you be,
yeah, I think it was, can you have peace when you're happy? And can you be happy when you have peace? But one is sustaining and one is fleeting. Like, so happiness is temporary and peace is, I feel like it has more substance, like it's more foundational. Where, okay, happiness is like a piece of a Hershey bar. You eat that one piece, it's gone. Instant gratification. It happens and then it goes. But peace, you have like the whole Hershey bar. You have like multiple pieces of chocolate. Where peace, similarly, like you have more to last you a longer time. But even then again, like you're gonna eventually have to go to the store and buy more chocolate bars. So similarly in faith, like if you're not stocking up, if you don't always have the source in your pantry, eventually it'll run out.
If we continually drink water and eat consistently, we won't hunger or thirst. And that's what Messiah was teaching when he said that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Those that, when you take in the truth, you'll never thirst. And it doesn't mean that you don't ever drink anything. It's just if you're, like, I have a bottle of water here. If I'm drinking water all day, I'm not going to be like, man, I'm thirsty. It'll be, you're just drinking water. But it's when you don't drink that you're like, I'm really thirsty. But you have to have that thirst for God. But then once you taste it, then you just continually take it in and it wells up like a spring, that because you have this enlightenment, you have this knowledge of God, it's just like a spring. You don't have to relearn it all again just because it's been a week. You just go and you dip it in the water and bring it out, just like Yah will give us what we need in the moment. There's a spring of living water that, all right, you don't know where what you're going to be talking about, but we do. So we're just going to take the water and we're going to dip it and drink this. And you're like, wow, all these things are coming to mind. Yeah, because I've got this stash of water here, but if you try to drink your own water, then you're not going to get anything. But yeah, what I'm finding, just as the more we do this, is it started out where the topic would come and we would talk based on that. Now I'm seeing that Yah is giving the topic within the different things we're talking about. And there's multiple topics to where, how are you going to trust us if you know the topic ahead of time? But then even in the middle, how can you trust us if you know it, but then you think it's going to go this way? So it's just kind of like I'm getting to see, all right, you get the topic for a time, then you don't get it, then we'll give it to you in the midst of the ideas, then don't worry about it and just focus on us, then we'll bring it out. So I'm just thinking, like, even with your job, like, you'll get it different ways where we're going to have another solution and another way to do this that goes along with this, and it's not always the same.
Yeah, and I see how it's reassuring how he's like how the topic is being brought up in the middle, where he's like, no, we didn't forget that topic. It's just, it wasn't the first thing that needed to be said. Or I needed you to see how we're going to remind you that we were listening. Because if we're constantly talking to you, then you're going to hear us and you're going to know that we're there. But it's when we stop talking that you notice we're not talking. Like, I was even thinking about, like, when you're drinking water, you don't notice that you're thirsty until you stop drinking water. Same thing, I thought about this with the podcast too. Like, I assume no one's texting you every Tuesday night, be like, oh, thanks for the podcast. Like, that was a good podcast. But the night that it's not on a Tuesday, I wonder if you'll get a text, be like, what happened to the podcast? Why didn't you guys record on Tuesday? Because the moment it's absent, is when you notice it. So same thing, it's like if you're spiritually fed every day, it's when you miss a day that you realize, oh, wow, I'm hungry. Like, I didn't get my daily intake.
And like I said, I don't know if you recognize this, but Yah is speaking through you a lot. And they brought me to something. I was outside. It was Sunday. And I had, and I'll say this term, and I'm sure you've heard it, but it brings us beautifully together. I was just outside with my dog, which I have I think of Lucy as a, I don't know what you would call it, like Lacey is like a, just like a baby Lucy. I mean, I don't, they're not exactly the same, but they're like, it's the same, like in, at some point you'll see, it's funny, but anyway, she's a cockapoo, but I was just outside with her and she was running around and just like chewing on a stick. And we were just outside. And it was one of those where it was the first kind of like that spring, not that it isn't spring, but it was like clear. It wasn't cold. It was like a warm breeze. And like all the bumblebees and honeybees were in the trees, like just in and out of the flowers, buzzing, flying around. And I was like, this is really nice. I was just watching the bees and just how they're working and what are they doing and how they know what flower to go to, and just like, wow. And all of a sudden this came to mind. Do you stop and smell the roses? I don't know if you've heard that term. And it's like, wow, okay. So you've got all this truth around you. Do you take time to really slow down, enjoy what you're doing and realize what's going on, as opposed to, all right, we have the podcast and then we have this and then we go here. And not that we don't do that, but it was just one of those where, do you realize what we're doing and how we're working? Just take a moment to just stop and enjoy what you're doing. And not that you're not, but just like you, like when you, I hadn't thought about that I have had those moments, like, it just seems like, is God around? And they are, but it's, what it is like, if you feel that distance, why is that? Is Yah distant? Or no, you start and you just start and it's just like this, like it's just slowly and you're not thinking about it. And you're just, it's like, well, I don't know why God is just, and it's like, oh, I'm no, get back. And then you're right back. And then it's like, man, nothing, everything's great. But that's the thing, because God doesn't do that. Now, to those that aren't seeking faith, that Yah is not turning towards them, but it's always going to be, it's not Yah going anywhere. It's just, and you do, like, if you don't eat, you're like, man, I'm hungry. You know, I want something to eat. But so, like, the more we stop and smell the roses, that's when we have the opportunity to have that gratitude to where, buy somebody flowers and not just put flowers on their grave. Well, what's putting flowers on the grave going to do? They're dead. But when you're not really, you know, kind of like that, wow, God, thank you for this. Thank you for this experience. Thank you for this day. And you really stop and smell that sweet smelling aroma of God, of that truth. And wow, okay. I'm going to look at that, because what are you in a hurry for? It was just kind of like, what are you, where do you need to go? What do you need to do? Because.
Well, and also, like, another analogy is like if you are outside near the fire pit, you're having a fire, and you walk away from the fire on a windy night, you're going to get cold. So you want to stay near the fire. But here's also what I got is like, if you stick your hand in the fire, then you get burned. So I think there's this healthy place for us to be where away from the fire isn't healthy because you get cold. But in the fire, so like debating with people, arguing, getting like fully angry, like that's also not healthy. But being warm, being on fire for God, not over the top, blowing your top, burning people on God's behalf, like that's not healthy. That's burning, that's hurting. But just being like right next to the fire, getting warmed by the fire, you can then like, if you get your hands warm, you can then grab a cold hand and, you know, put your hands around their hand and warm their hand. But, yeah.
Have you heard the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, they would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar and stop what they were doing. And what was interesting is there was the picture of the furnace that they were thrown into. Well, the ones that heated the furnace up died because they heated up so much, but they were thrown into the furnace and they didn't get burned up, didn't even have the smell of smoke or anything on them, but it said like one like the son of the gods was walking around with them. So with God, you are in the fire. Well, when you're in the fire, it's for refining. But if you're thrown into the fire, not for a discipline, but for a punishment, then it's a destroying thing. So like you said, if you're being, like you're trying to test God, you're putting your hand in the fire. But if you say, no, God is God and the fire is burning and I'm going to trust in them, then God says, come closer, just like Moses, that, well, the bush is burning, but it's not being consumed, right? That you're, if you're with me in the fire, you're not being consumed, but you're being purified. So it's interesting. It's where you stand in it. If I put you underwater and held you there, you're going to die. But if you go underwater with the scuba gear and you have oxygen, no problem. You drink water, you're fine. You get it in your lungs, you're not. Like we were even talking about this the other night that was salt. You drink salt water, you'll die if you keep doing it. But you can eat salt on food, no issue. Sodium chloride. You eat chlorine, you'll die. You breathe in chlorine gas, you can die. You drink chlorinated water. It's designed a certain way that keep the element where it's supposed to be. And I think that's great, y'all bringing that out, because if you don't go into the fire with God, you will be thrown into the fire without God, and you'll be burned up and punished. And that's in the Old Testament. That's the gospel message of make sure that when you're being purified, that Messiah is with you. So that you're being purified, and yeah, it hurts, but the impurities are rising to the top where, no, I don't want to go into the fire. No, I'm going to bow down to these other gods. Then God will say, bind them up and throw them in the fire. And then you'll say, no, no, God, don't do that. But then you won't have any chance to be purified. You'll be destroyed. And think about that. The essence of hell is you don't have a body. So think about, you're looking for that rest. And you ever think about, I just want to go to sleep. I'm so tired. Nope. And you just got to stay up and no, I'm going to go to sleep. Nope. You got to stay up and I just want to rest. Nope. You're not going to rest. And that's the thing with the things of God. But no, that's.
Yeah. Well, I see how what we were talking about, I think on Sunday, is popping up too. Like how if you put sand in the fire, it turns into glass. But glass left in the fire too long melts and changes shape. And so I see how, like you said, there's a time for refinement, but if you stay in that refinement, you'll lose your shape. You'll lose your structure, like glass will melt. So you have to like eventually come out of the fire. And same with like diving in a cave, like even if you dive in the cave, even if you have a harness and the light, if you stay searching in that cave, discovering everything it has to offer, you'll miss out on the world outside the cave, the trees that your rope is attached to, like the people that are up there waiting for you. Like, if you stay working on yourself forever, you'll miss out on the quality controls. You'll miss out on getting to, like, put your refinement to use. So sand becoming glass. Like, if the glass never came out of the fire, it will never be able to be used as a drinking glass for someone.
You ever heard this term? I saw heard it in a movie, one of my favorite movies from the 80s, that somebody was referred to as they were all science and no philosophy. It's like, think about who God is. Yah knows everything that can be known, and they understand it. But where does it get you if you just have all this knowledge, but you don't know how to treat people, you don't know how to love? It's like, if you have all these things and you don't love, you have nothing. Who cares if we have all this knowledge of God and righteousness if we don't love people? It made me think of the people that, with the best intentions, will go to a monastery and just stay isolated because I'm doing the work of God. But is the work of God for you just to stay isolated from everybody? I can see a time of, just like even Messiah, that he withdrew and went up by himself to talk to his mother and father. There's a time for that. There's a time for having the quiet time, but then there's a time to find the quiet, find the silence, which is the stillness, the peace in the everyday, where, like you said, you're always communicating with God, where you are being the representation of God, which is living the life of Messiah, where you're not looking to, now using discretion, you're not looking to intentionally avoid people, but you just don't, if somebody doesn't want to know the truth, well, I'm just not going to, I'll be friendly, but I'm not going to associate with you. I'm not going to go to your house and these things, but I'm not going to be rude. And it made me think of, that's the thing, is I don't see Yah wanting us to isolate and just live in a monastery and just pray all the time, because what benefit is that for you to be, let your light shine before men and women if you're isolating? And I can see that, like, well, I'm in a monastery, or I'm here and I'm serving God, but we need to see that light shining so that people can see what true faith is, not you hiding. Because even Messiah said, if you have a light, you don't put it under a basket, you put it on its lampstand. That a house built in the city on a hill can't be hidden, that we're made to let our light shine, but is like you said, you're on fire, you just let the fire burn. You don't lunge your fire on somebody else, because what are they going to do? Get away from me. I don't. But there might be a moment where you get really close and, man, that was intense. Man, you're a little bit over the top there, but you're not throwing your pearls before the swine. You're not throwing coals on people. Now, we will dump burning coals on somebody's head, but that's, you're not throwing them at people. So I just see it is a balance that, yes, I agree, you don't just keep it to yourself, because if you had true faith, you couldn't keep it to yourself. Doesn't mean you're just beating people down with lectures, but yeah, how can I be the best? How can I work unto you at this job and just help me? And it could very well be that it's not the fact that you got frustrated with somebody, but somebody that's watching says, that person controlled themselves. There's something to that. I'm going to ask them a question. That's what we can do, as opposed to, well, I failed because I got upset. And no, how did you deal with being upset? I've even had times where I'll go back to people and call them back and apologize, say, you know what, I was rude to you. I'm not going to do that again. Oh my gosh, I didn't think you were rude at all. No, but I know I was, because I knew it on the inside. Well, Lexi, not that we had nothing to talk about, because Yah gave you and me plenty to talk about, and they did their work as they always do. So what do you think? Good pausing point?
definitely, I think for me at least, it's a good time to, I don't know what's the word, like reflect, but also like embrace.
Well, it just shows me that just more and more trust God, because they'll give us what we need. And those that are listening now or in the future, the things that you're hearing on here, we're speaking the truth of God. And it's encourage you to, you do the digging, you search it out, and you verify and you make sure it's the truth and it lines up, and believe God. Believe in God, not in us, because we're just like Paul and Apollos, it's one plants, the other waters, God gives the increase. We're not here to convince anybody of anything, though we will convince that we cannot ourselves convince anybody. You have to be convinced in your own mind, be convicted, and turn to God. So, yeah, we'll pause from here. Next podcast will be when it is. And it was good having you back. And we'll have you back in the future, Lord willing. So for Sean and Lexi, we will sign off from the podcast tonight. And we hope everybody has a good evening. We'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for joining us today on Hidden Treasures Revealed. We want to leave you with this thought. The greatest treasure in life, and especially in faith, is discovery. If we try to convince you of things, you may gain head knowledge, but if we let you discover things, you will have heart knowledge to know and understand and be able to give a good answer for the faith that you have. Treasure hunters seek treasure nonstop. Seek the treasure of God through conversation with them and through their word. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek the hidden treasure of God, and you will be blessed by it.